Hello and welcome to Citfa Speaks, the podcast for public finance professionals. On this month's episode, Citfa's international team are taking over and they have some fantastic guests for us today. We'll hear from Arianella Deja and Manj Kalar. Arianella is a project manager and program facilitator at the Centre of Excellence in Finance, where she is responsible for designing, coordinating and evaluating learning events in auditing. Manj is director at Kalar Consulting and has 30 years of experience gained across the public sector. She has worked across several large UK central government departments implementing accrual accounting for government income and expenditure. So without further ado, let's start the episode. First up, we'll hear from Arianella.
This is Cal Hager. I'm Citfa's International Policy Manager, and I'm happy to say I'm joined by Arianella Deja, a project manager from the Center of Excellence in Finance, or the CEF. We wanted to have you on the episode today because you're leading on our training of internal auditors in the public sector in Albania, or TAPS, Albania Project. And we thought it was a pretty cool project that we wanted to share with our listeners. So do you mind very quickly introducing yourself and just sharing a little bit about your background?
Thank you, Kyle, for having me today. I am Arianella, proudly representing the Center of Excellence in Finance. CEF is an international organization based in Ljubljana, Slovenia, that supports the capacity development of public officials and institutions in the Southeast Europe through learning and knowledge sharing. Within CEF, I hold roles of project manager and program facilitator. As a project manager, as you previously mentioned, my main focus is to ensure the successful implementation of various projects that we have here at the CEF. One of them is TAPS Albania. Additionally, as a program facilitator, I am responsible for designing and implementing face-to-face and online learning initiatives in the field of public financial management, specifically auditing.
So thanks for that, Arianella. So you're the lead of the TAPS Albania project. Can you give our listeners an overview of that project, kind of its core objectives, and what you think the real value of the project is for Albania?
Yes, indeed. It all started with a request from Ministry of Finance and Economy of Albania. They approached us with a request to enhance capacities in public sector financial management through an advanced training of internal auditors in the public sector named TAPS program. As Albania is a member of the CEF, we took the initiative and cooperated with CIFA, OECD Sigma and other partners to successfully implement this project. And we actually started on January 1st of this year. The program introduced an innovative and professional qualification training program for public sector internal auditors, aiming to boost the capacities of Albanian public internal auditors with advanced skills, competencies and knowledge requested to be in line with EU requirements, international standards and best international practice. Why? Because this advanced training will also complement the national certificate that they run for many years now for internal auditors in the public sector. TAPS project comprised four modules: audit and assurance, good governance, managerial accountability, and developing strategy and data analysis. We have on module three accounting fundamentals, and we conclude with the introduction to performance auditing. We might say that we had a lot of partners in these great initiatives. The program is financially supported by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Foreign and European Affairs of the Republic of Slovenia, and the Ministry of Finance of Slovenia. We have also partner Ministry of Finance of Albania, CIFA, OECD Sigma, and CEF, providing also additionally in-kind contribution, which was very important at this stage of the project. I would like really to emphasize here our partnership with CIFA, which is instrumental in this project. CIFA plays a crucial role in developing the study materials for all the international modules, developing the exams, evaluating them and grading the exams, training the local tutors, because per each module we will have also training of trainers of local tutors, and additionally CIFA will also actively participate in the localization of a working group, which I would like to touch upon later if the time allows. These joint efforts greatly contribute to the successful implementation and localization of the program. We hope so.
Thanks for that, Arianella. It seems like a really comprehensive program. And I think kind of the first thing I'm thinking here is, obviously, in the title, you know, training of internal auditors in the public sector, is the program just geared towards internal audit, or do you guys have more of kind of like an interdisciplinary audience or group of participants in the program?
Yes, indeed. You mentioned that in the title is training of internal auditors in the public sector, but actually TFs will be a little bit broader focus. Our primary focus is always internal auditors, but we will include here as well external auditors and other professionals from public institutions in Albania, but only them who possess audit knowledge, because this is an advanced training certification. We decided to involve a broader pool of participants beyond internal auditors for an important reason: to ensure that all the stakeholders in the field in Albania recognize the value of internal auditors and collaborate more effectively in the future. And hopefully this project maybe might be the path toward this. Why not?
And I think that's really interesting, because I think that's a big thing, because that's something we talk about at SIPFA a lot, and we work hard to kind of advocate for the internal audit profession. And it seems like this is kind of getting those touch points for a variety of different disciplines that kind of work alongside internal audit. So I think that's really interesting, and likewise hope it's very productive and fruitful for the future. So, you know, you mentioned kind of the diverse nature of it so far. It sounds quite innovative. Can you tell us a little bit more about the structure of the project?
In terms of the project structure, we have adopted an approach that maximizes the effectiveness. The modules have been specifically developed for these projects in terms of combining international standards in each module with a local Albanian context, meaning that this indicates that every module has a dedicated working group responsible for providing recommendations to ensure that our CIFA international experts materials incorporate and integrate the regional and local context effectively. When also we deliver the modules, we adopt a similar approach. For each module that we have, we provide students with international, regional, and local examples to provide them with a really comprehensive understanding of the global happenings and enable them to connect it to their local contexts. I would like additionally to say that the program also prioritizes practicality through the on-the-job training, which means that is we will have practical examples to ensure the effective application of the knowledge and skills that they will learn through this project within their workplace. This practical training will be co-designed with international experts, regional and local tutors who will facilitate the work in small group with up to 5 students per group. This is a unique opportunity to test the students what they have gained through the 4 modules. After they successfully pass the modules, they will be entitled to go through.
Thanks for that, Arina. It sounds very focused and practical, specifically for the local Albanian context, and having, you know, small groups of study and instruction, international, regional, and local information sounds incredibly valuable. Now, you mentioned earlier that there's a localization working group for this project, and I was just hoping you could tell us a little bit more about that working group and why you think it's important.
Thank you, Kyle. Yes, I touched upon also earlier regarding the localization working group. I think it's important to mention this because it's an essential part aspect of the project as well. The localization working group ensures the sustainability of the program resources by facilitating the efficient institutional handover of the certification program to the local body responsible for the training, which in this case is the Central Harmonization Unit within the Ministry of Finance and Economy in Albania. The CF takes the lead in facilitating the localization working group, which will support during these 2 years the adjustment to the legislation when and where is needed to recognize the certification title within the public administration system and prepare the necessary manuals for future implementing the institutions. It's important to say that we are not planning to stay forever in the field, but we will like to make all the necessary background materials, everything that is needed, adjustment to the legislation, so they will easy hand over and then continue on their own. In this effort, we are again hand in hand with CIFA, as well as Ministry of Finance and Economy of Albania, OECD Sigma, Academia, to ensure a collective and comprehensive effort to this joint adventure.
No, that sounds really interesting. And, you know, I think think I like the way that you put it, kind of not necessarily hand-holding forever, but obviously putting in kind of the mechanisms and support features to kind of enable long-term success. I think that sounds really great. You know, I'm mindful that you're the one leading on this project and you're working with these people all the time. Have you had any feedback on how it's going so far? I guess we're, 5 months into the project? Have you had any feedback so far?
Actually, we have started with the module one delivery. And I must say that the feedback received so far has been great and positive. Both students and our partners have expressed satisfactions with the progress. And we have also had online lecturing, workshop lecturing. So everything has been great so far. We might say it's just the beginning, but I think it's a good start. And we are really optimistic for a very great results on this project.
All right. So I think it's a really interesting project and one I know that you and, you know, both teams at both SIPPA and the CEF have been working very hard on delivering to a high standard. So thank you very much for joining us today and for, you know, telling us a little bit more about the excellent work that you're doing.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Maybe I want to conclude with really two sentences that it is important that to mention the TF's Albania project enhanced the capabilities of auditors in Albania, and the cooperation with SIPPA and all the partners ensures a well-rounded and impactful program that benefits the whole public sector in Albania.
Sounds
Thank you
great.
For having me.
Thank you very much.
That was Arianella Deja. Up next, it's Manj Kalar.
This is Lorraine Ashley. I'm on the international team and I'm an international project coordinator. And I am delighted to be joined by Manj Kalar to talk about SIPPA's project with Botswana's Unified Revenue Services. Thank you for joining us today, Manj. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? And thank you so much for inviting me to be part of this today, Lorraine, and
so
be able to share about the project.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Could you please introduce yourself and your background?
Sure. For those of you who don't know me, so I've almost 30 years, this year actually, 1993, I started in the public sector. I've always had an affinity for public sector. I was a free school meals kid. I got to university. Had I not had the public services, the investment in the public services, I would never have had the opportunities and the career I've had to date. I started off in customs and excise. This is how to make yourself, endear yourself to everyone. I started off as a VAT inspector, but then I had a degree in accountancy. So I moved on to the accounting side, implementing accrual accounting, not just for spending, for government spending, but for government income too. That's why I'm working on the Botswana project. But really, we were first, before the central government were late to the party, we were always looking at cash, how much cash is coming, just spend it, rather than thinking about how much do, as government, how much do we own? How many assets, buildings, cars, et cetera, and how much do we owe? So anyway, delighted to be part of that project, really think about practical stuff. Then I went to the Home Office. I was head of financial reporting there. Then at DCLG, working closely with Treasury, that's the Ministry for Local Government, and working on the whole of government accounts project. So I brought together all of English local government. And from there, I worked at SIPPA for 5 years as technical manager, looking after central government, strategy around financial management, and then increasingly international work. Finally, I was working with ACCA. I'm dual ACCA and SIPPA qualified as a qualifier and as a project manager. Anyway, I was global head of public sector at ACCA. And now I'm in a fortunate position that I get to pick and choose the contracts and the projects I work on. And one of my favourite things is, as well as working on this, is supporting our next generation of finance professionals. So I'm also a SIPPA apprentice coach. So that's me.
Sounds amazing. Congratulations on your 30 years. And it sounds like you have rich, rich knowledge in the public sector. So to dive into the topic, you've conducted a scoping study on behalf of SIPPA to evaluate the feasibility of moving to accruals accounting for the Botswana Unified Revenue Services. How did the exercise go?
It went really well. I suppose, you know, they asked me to then lead the implementation phase too. So I guess they were happy with the work we did. But it was really, you see, I hate the notion of when we say it's the accrual accounting project. When you say that, it's automatic. Most people will switch off. Oh, it's accounting. It's not for me, it's for you. Yeah, finance, you deal with it. But actually, the biggest transformation I think that's happened in the first phase was really to get everyone to understand it's a whole organization project. All we do in finance, I say all we do lots of things, but we report the business. In this case, it's the business of government. So what does Botswana Unified Revenue Service do? They collect taxes on behalf of government. That helps fund all the public services that they deliver for the rest of the country. So having a better understanding of how much cash is due in, rather than just how much cash comes in, will lead to better planning, better decision making. And then you can start thinking about challenges like, are we getting the right amount? What can we do to change the tax framework to make sure we get the right amount of tax in at the right time? Are we taxing too much? Etc. So it was a huge understanding and getting the key stakeholders involved into understanding why we're doing the project. I think if you always understand the why, then the what and the how will follow. So getting them all engaged, getting them engaged with what we're doing. So it's a deep understanding of the individual tax regimes. And from there, thinking, well, what are the accounting implications? And then devised based on that. So we did a big scoping study, look at the big major taxes, look at the tax flows, understand those, and then from there develop a detailed plan.
Sounds very interesting. What would you say the key takeaways, the key findings were?
I think the key findings for me is always how different each country is. And that's fine. It's one of the wonderful things I'm able to do in terms of we can't just apply, here's a model, we apply it. It requires a deep understanding of where someone is, where the country is, where and culturally as well, understanding what's going to be feasible, what's doable and achievable, and the pace that of change that's needed. So how much communication is required, who needs to be involved, how often, all of those, we say project management things, but the engagement, I think, would be the key takeaway. Would be first takeaway is working with people, understanding, getting them involved and enthused. So we have most of the project team I have within Botswana are from the tax side, not from finance. That might surprise some people, but it's all about, because it's all about understanding the taxes. And then we work out the accounting afterwards. So IT, it's a whole organization approach, therefore it needs all of the organization involved. So that's another key takeaway as well. And then you have to be really nimble, agile, pragmatic to think about what solution best suits that context, that client, that environment that's going to work. I don't think cut and pasting what worked somewhere else is going to work there. Yes, I did the HMRC. I led the HMRC movement to accrual accounting whilst I worked there. But that does not mean what we did at HMRC is going to work directly within BRS. So I'd say that would be my key takeaway.
That's amazing. That sounds really, really interesting. Thank you. And so now you're working with a small team on implementing the move from cash to accruals accounting. How is that going?
Yeah, no, it's going really well, touch wood. We have been, so just got back recently. We were there in March and April. I say we. Paul Mason is joining me on the project. He is, I can't think of anyone better to help me develop the accounting policies than someone who used to write the accounting standards for the International Public Sector Accounting Standards Board. And then also we had from the SIPFA side, we had the project manager, Katia Lammers, who's been supporting the project as well. So we were there. It was great to go back after the pandemic. So this was the first time in country. So after quite a while, but that's been, most of the work actually has been done online. So it's just nice to go and meet people, see them face to face. And we presented to the board. We presented the accounting policies. Presenting the accounting policies to the board sound quite boring, but it was nice to get some real positive, really good feedback following that meeting. And it was mostly, it's about engagement, accounting policies, yeah, right. not sexy, it's just for accountants, and you guys find them interesting. But they are the foundation on which we're going to build everything and report everything. If you have ropey foundations, you're not going to be able to build a good house. Same thing. We have to have strong foundations and buy into what we were doing. Because at the end of the day, we will deliver and we will walk away. We want to empower them, enable them then to move forward and produce them, produce the accrual accounts going forward. And you'd be able to use the information, the wealth of information that would be available. So it was, you know, we've got those approved, which is fantastic. Now we can, now we're making a move into sort of delivering the actual sort of transformation. So delivering the opening balances, and then finally we'll be delivering the accruals, financial statements for the government tax income that they collect. So how billions of pula that they collect on behalf of government. So yeah, it's really exciting. I'm enjoying, it's a lot of hard work, but the people there, as always, it's not, it's always the team, it's the people who make it such an enjoyable experience.
That sounds incredible. And it's amazing because you can see that it, the work has been underpinned by capacity building, which I think is really, really great. And I'm sure the listeners could also relate to being able to see people face to face now after the pandemic, which is also just really nice to build those relationships. So it sounds like wonderful, wonderful things are happening. And so what will this transformation mean for Botswana's unified revenue services and Botswana more broadly? What are the expectations and thoughts about the future?
You know, I think this is the nub of the question. I think this is the heart of everything we do. Now, a little while ago, a few years ago now, I met with a colleague from DFID, the Department for International Development, now part of the Foreign Commonwealth Office, FCDO. And he challenged me. He said, "Madge, come on, accrual accounting, what is it? For accountants, by accountants." And I thought, if that's what you think, if that's the perception out there, then we've failed, because it isn't just for us. As finance professionals, we get to understand and see all of the business, whatever the business is. And every government entity is a business. They have a role to deliver. And so whether it's collecting taxes, making sure it's done effectively, efficiently, on time, getting the right tax in at the right time, or whether it's spending to ensure, their home office, it's the national security, as well as funding the police services, etc. That's a business, how it's run. We get to see that because we understand all that the finances. And this is so what? After the pandemic, there's been a huge issue around tax income. It's not a political statement, but we need to think about revenue mobilization, i.e. collecting taxes, so that public services can be funded and the huge support that governments around the world have provided their citizens. Quite rightly, during the pandemic, how can that borrowing be repaid? So there's understanding, not just the cash coming in. Cash coming in is a little bit, it's too late at that stage. Do you understand how much revenue is due in for each of your tax regimes? Then you can get really interested in an understanding of, well, if I change that a little bit, what would the impact be? So when I say the team here, one of the team is part of SIPFA, also have a statistical unit. And one of the team members is a statistician who's supporting me on the project to understand, how do we estimate tax revenues? And then what are the impairments? An impairment, how much we're not likely to collect. Now you can say, "Madge, a government's not going to admit that they're not likely to collect this amount of tax, because what's the behavioural impact on someone else to say, hey, you're not going to collect it, that's fine, I won't pay." But the reality is most businesses will have an impairment. They'll know they won't collect some. They might lose some, shops might lose some stock to pilferage, or it might be that the goods are damaged, whatever. Impairments are natural. Government has that too. But if you understand the level of your impairment, you can then start thinking and putting in strategies and mitigations to think, well, what is it? Can we reduce it? Is the tax being paid on time? What's our debt looking like? What interventions can we put in? Just taking the UK example. So you'll find you might get a text reminder to say, oh, did you know that so many people submit their self-assessment return 6 months, you know, by this timeline? It's just to encourage, or did you know your taxes in your area are funding all of this? That's all deliberate, designed to influence our behaviour. That's sort of the nudge, the behavioural insights team that was originally developed. And it's that, then you can have those debates to think, well, if I understand my taxes, I understand what's coming in, I can then develop strategies to help us with our wider whole of government strategies to think, okay, well, if the money's coming in, when do I spend it? So you don't have to go into the most expensive emergency borrowing. So you know what's coming in, what you can fund, where are you? And then the other government departments, there's a huge wide whole of Botswana government project on implementing accrual accounting as well. So this, we're sort of the income side, and then you've got then the rest of it, sort of the expenditure side. So it just enables you to give you the answer, the so what. It's basically, it gives a lot of information, lots of insight. Based on that, they can then help with their revenue mobilization, thinking about the tax gap, which is just a technical term to say, how much tax is due theoretically if everyone paid, and then how much tax is actually collected. Now, you're never going to get 100%, but you can then start thinking about strategies to improve that. If you don't know the old Donald Rumsfeld unknown unknowns, if you don't know, you can't do anything about it. Once you know, you can then start doing stuff. VAT is a really regressive tax. We know this anyway. It disproportionately affects those people who are, you know, poorer. So they have to spend more as their proportion of their income on, and therefore, if you increase VAT, they will have to pay more. Is there a case to reduce it? If you reduce VAT, would the overall receipts go up? You can do those kinds of sensitivity analysis and forecasting, because part of that, you're absolutely right, Lorraine, you talked about capacity building, and that's what we're doing. We're helping with their statisticians and the forecasting team to have a better understanding. And we're working with the Ministry of Finance, their statistical team, and the National Statistics for Botswana to then think about, so we can then, you know, promulgate and use, offer best practice to see if some of that will be useful within the local context. So we're doing that as well. So there's, as you say, it's all about, you realise it's not just here's the accounting that's done, it's really how do you use information and start using the information from day one. Project management, it keeps everyone enthused. We need a few quick wins to say, yeah, we've done it. But also, if anyone can see, everyone can see the value of what we're doing, we're more likely to deliver. And I, no I in team, as they say, but I can't do it myself. It's if the BRS team want to do it, it will happen.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Manj. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak today and tell us about the project. I myself have found it very thought-provoking and interesting. So thank you so much for your time, Manj.
Thank you, Lorraine, and a delight to be here and to be able to share the work that we're working on. So thank you.
That was Manj Kalar. That's all we have time for in this month's episode of Sit for Speaks. We'd like to say a big thank you to our guests Manj and Arianella for taking part. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more and to make sure you never miss another episode. Previous episodes can be found on Sit for's website or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next month with more. So until then, thank you and goodbye.